Oh, it's such a good album. I can't get enough of this album, man. They've been streaming it since yesterday. And my time, it was at 1 o'clock. I'm on Eastern Standard Time. And I did a whole episode on this album. And I love it. I think it's amazing. Every single song on this album is a fucking masterpiece. I swear to God. And, you know, I don't know. I can't say enough good things about this album. I really can't. I mean, I'm like, I'm starting to get goosebumps because every time I talk about this album, I get goosebumps. It's so fucking good. Every single song has its own personality. Like, you just go to another world with every song. And some of the songs have, like, the same kind of sounds in them, the same beats, but you still travel to a whole nother universe when you're listening to these songs. It's like you're put in a whole different place. Period. So much more I could say, but I don't want to make this episode about Invincible. I wanted to talk about colorism in the Black community. And what's important to me is that Black people really need to understand, you know, how beautiful we are, how much power we have, and how we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about it. I know that, you know, we're supposed to be humble. We're not supposed to be boastful. And they use that against us. You know, they preach that to us. And they use it to control us so that we can't feel like we're worthy of having the best. And I think that it's come to a point in the 21st century, where Black celebrities are really starting to fuck some shit up. And I mean fuck shit up in a bad way. I don't mean in a good way. I mean they're fucking shit up in a bad way, and they're letting people, Black Americans are letting people come to the table that don't belong there. Now, I'm not trying to take food from the African man's mouth that comes here and wants to be a celebrity. But I am going to take food out of his mouth when he's at a table that he should not be at. So in saying that, let's talk about colorism in the Black community for a minute. I'll give you guys a story, and you guys have probably heard this before. When I was born, I was very light-skinned. And my parents, you know, my father didn't think that I was his child because I was so light. And as I grew older, I started looking like his mother. So he couldn't deny me at that point. And I eventually morphed into... I could have been his mother's clone, basically. My body was like hers. My skin tone was like hers. You know, my facial features were like hers. I basically was a second Margaret Wiggins. Margaret Brunt was her maiden name. And with that being said, as I was growing up, my mother would tell me, and she was honest with me about the Black community and how white people saw us and how Black people saw themselves. And she grew up and was raised during the civil rights movement, you know? And so she would tell me that she thought I was prettier than her and that the world saw me as prettier than her because my skin was lighter. And she had grown up with an older sister who had really bright skin. Everybody else in the family had darker skin, but her one sister had bright skin. She was like the same. I think she was lighter than me, actually. And she had to grow up with people favoring her sister over her. Her sister was really popular in school. And she would talk to me about, you know, the different things that would happen to her and things like that. And she was just always shy and just, you know, kept to herself and had a few friends, and that was it. And she grew up in church, you know. She really couldn't go out and do much of anything because my grandfather, my father's father, was her pastor when she came to Lansing at 13 years old. So she had known my father's family 5 years before her and my father got married. So I was really sad about that. And I wish sometimes that I had darker skin because, you know, I even tried to stay in the sun so I could get darker. And my younger brother came along and he was dark skinned. So between him and my mother, I was the only light one in the family. And I felt bad. For most of my life, I felt bad because I was lighter skinned and they were dark. And I did see the favoritism. I did see privilege. I was very privileged growing up because I had a nice body. I had, you know, nice facial features. And my skin was light. But I still suffered from being discriminated against by white people because I was black. So I did suffer that, but in the black community, I received a lot of hate, a lot of jealousy. I was alone a lot for reasons that, you know, some of it was me. I didn't like to be a part of the crowd. I didn't like to join in with what everybody else was doing. I wanted to be my own person. And a lot of that, too, was because I couldn't connect and identify with people because they wanted to be a part of the world and what the world was doing. And so I just stayed to myself a lot. And the friends that I had, we all had things in common. And so, you know, I kind of didn't like myself for a while because I was lighter skinned. I didn't know why my skin was the color that it was, but I grew to love myself. And, you know, I would get comments from my mom and my brother, you know, about my skin tone and stuff like that. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't nice. It wasn't something that, you know, I liked. It wasn't something that I didn't take seriously. I did take it very seriously because I thought that was I thought that there was something wrong with me, you know, because I was favored over my mother and my brother. You know, I would get better treatment. I'd get people that would ask me if I was Puerto Rican or if I was Arabic. You know, some people would confuse me for that. And it was just like, no. And in the summertime, when I got darker, I would get so happy. But then the winter came and I would go back to the same color again. And it was just like, you know, I was the opposite of what a lot of other light-skinned people, you know, I guess. I don't know. But I never really liked my skin tone growing up. Cause I didn't like to have that difference in between me and my family. I wanted us all to be the same, but unfortunately, you know, it really needs to be talked about more in the black community, how we discriminate against each other because of the color of our skin. And I still get discriminated against. I still get people that look at me like, you and your light skin, people like you better than they like me, you know? I still get that till this day, and I'm 52 years old. And so it's like, it's heartbreaking because it takes me back to those moments of when my mother and my brother would talk to me, you know, and they kind of sometimes felt like I liked white people better, you know, because I was into all kinds of music. And it wasn't that, it was just I enjoyed the entertainment industry. And the entertainment industry, let's just face it, it's predominantly white. Like, white people have taken over it until the Jacksons came along. And there are a lot of black people that I enjoy listening to their music and stuff, but I was selective when it came to black people because I really wanted to enjoy the artistry of black people that loved who they are and weren't worried about their dark skin or light skin, but they wanted the conditions of their people to be changed, and they wanted their and they empowered their people and they embraced their people no matter what skin color they were. That's what I looked for. But when it came to a white artist and I enjoyed their music, I didn't look for that depth. That I didn't look for that from them because they don't understand our experience. I just enjoyed their music. I wasn't ignoring black people, and I wasn't trying to favor white people over black people. It's just that I enjoyed their music. I enjoyed their artistry. I enjoyed, you know, what they had to give to the world as far as their music and acting abilities and things like that. So sometimes I'd get questions about why do you, you know, listen to white music and all this kind of stuff all the time. And it's just like, it's not that I'm listening to the white music. And sometimes I would get questions from black kids like, why do you have more white friends than you do have black friends? And it's like, it's not that. That's not what I'm, you know, trying to do. I didn't purposely set out to be friends with white people. Like there are a lot of black people that actually look for white spouses and white friends. And I don't do that. It just happens. You know, it's not that I don't care about my people and that I don't love my people, but it's just, I am who I am and I'm not apologizing to anybody for that. You know, I've always felt like I didn't belong in the black community because of my skin color. I never really felt a part of any black community. I always felt like I was on the outside, you know. And when you're a fan of Michael Jackson, it's like you don't, there's nothing about color that stands out for me, because I know he's a proud black man. I know he tells his children that they're black. I know he embraces his blackness. I know he's proud, but it's not a where he's concentrates or talks about or makes his people feel bad about who they are. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm black. I enjoy my blackness. I love who I am. But let's embrace people. Let's love everybody. You know? It wasn't where, I don't feel like Michael was the type of black person that wanted to bring everybody to our table. I think that he limited who came to the table, to be honest with you. And I think that Michael loved on who loved him. And I think that Michael took a lot of advice, and he listened to those who would talk to him. And I think because white people see themselves as superior and they see us as an oddity, they're more willing to open up to us and they're more willing to find out more about us. Not really in the sense that we would for them, but more of in the sense of superiority. Now, I know Michael and Elizabeth Taylor were really good friends, along with Liza Minnelli, and they're two white women. And a lot of people took issue with this because they felt like, you're a black man, why are you up under these white women like that? But it's not about them being white. It's about them embracing him and loving him and seeing him. like seeing him, like there were some things that Liz Taylor said about Michael that I kind of disagree with, but for the most part, I think that Liz's heart was in the right place. I think that her privilege and her being white, she really didn't understand how to articulate properly how she felt about Michael or how she saw Michael. But I think that she was the only woman out of, you know, the one of the only women out of all the people and women that Michael was around. I think she was the only one who really embraced Michael and really made him feel loved and accepted, and to a certain extent. This is just how I see it from the outside looking in. I don't really know how Michael felt, but I know that he loved Liz and Liz loved him. And but for the most part, you know, I don't gravitate towards just white people. I try to understand my people too. But then I get this backlash like I'm not black enough sometimes. I get this feeling like when I talk about things or when I say things, I'm not black enough or I'm not doing things right by the black community. And it's like, no, I love my people, you know? And I don't come on here and defend Michael and defend black men and defend Jackson family because they're black. I do it because I love my people. And I don't want to see anything happen to them. You know, I don't want another Jackson dead. I want them to be careful. I want them to understand their blackness and understand who they are. And they know who they are. They understand their blackness. They know their blackness. And I love that about them because they're the only black family that I know of in the entertainment industry that has ever gone back to their roots. Like literally their house that they grew up in is still there. Like what black entertainers do you know that actually still do that? As well as philanthropy and being talented as fuck. Like what do you... And then people take issue with the Jackson men marrying women that are not black. Like, what do y'all like fucking expect? Like, every black person is supposed to be married to a dark-skinned black person? Like, we come in all shapes, sizes, and hues, and we all have what we like and what we don't like, what we're attracted to and what we're not attracted to. You know, I heard so much shit through the years growing up. I heard that Joe wanted his kids to marry women that were not black or that were lighter skin and had pretty long hair because he wanted his grandchildren to look good. Like, this shit is so fucking obnoxious. I don't know. If the Jackson family don't talk about it, I don't bring it up, you know. If Joe did feel like that, then that's their personal business. That's their family. That's what they had. That's what they, you know. And you look at the third generation of Jacksons, and all those kids are beautiful. Siggy is Jackie's son. And I think his mother, I think Siggy's mom is black. And then Marlon married a black woman. And then I think Rebe married a black man. So I'm just, you know, and the others, I think Tito's former wife, God rest her soul, Dee Dee, I'm not sure where she was from. And then you have Janet. She was with the DeBarges and they were mixed race. I can't remember who she was with. I don't know. I can't say the name because I don't remember. Excuse me. But then she was dating, what's his name? That little guy. She had him in one of her videos. I was like, oh, she dating him? Oh my God. And then she got with this guy that was Arabic. So it's like, it's not a, people love who they love, and they're, I mean, there's not a whole lot of black women in Hollywood. And it's not like, I don't think that the Jackson family has issue with their color, their race. I don't think they have an issue with their race at all. I think that they love who they are. They're proud of who they are. And they're just trying to live their life like everybody else. I don't understand why they get this bad rap in the black community. Why do some black people see them as not being black enough, or being upset with the Jackson men because they love who they love and they happen to be women from other countries with long hair? Like, who the fuck cares? Who gives a shit? You know? I don't see a busload of black women going to their concerts that are average black women. Like, where are y'all at for them? Like, I'm pretty sure they would embrace the fuck out that shit. Like, sisters, get it together. Like, if you really want to, you know, be there for our black men, start taking up for them, start standing up for them, and start chastising and fucking thumping in the head the black men who say stupid shit, like Chris Brown, like who else? Chris Brown and Eddie Murphy. You know, I'm doing it again. I'm not doing it right, y'all. I'm not doing it right. I'm trying to talk to y'all and change the song. Okay, there we go. So, you know, we got to stick together on this colorism thing. We gotta nip it in the bud. Like, we black women are beautiful with short hair or long hair. You know, I get ignorant comments. I'm not gonna say who said it to me, but it's like, why can't you grow your hair? And it's like, I look at that person, I'm like, I'm not fucking white. You know, my hair is what it is. It is what the fuck it is. Like, I'm not gonna apologize for that shit, you know. I'm going to put a picture up for this episode, and it's me and my grandma, and I had a short fro when I was younger, and I can't rock the fuck out that hairstyle, and I rocked it when I went to boot camp. I went to boot camp with my hair like that. So, you know, black women, I don't, you know, make yourself feel bad because these stereotypes are out here and they trying to make you believe this shit about your skin tone. I'd love black women no matter what skin tone they are. I think they're so beautiful. If your hair is short and you can't grow that shit out, rock the fuck out of a short style. Or learn your hair. Learn the texture of your hair. There's plenty of YouTube videos. I'm finding out more and more about our hair. You know, I'm trying to figure out what combination of things are going to work in order for me to grow my hair. Because my hair is like probably to my shoulders right now. I want it a little bit longer, but at my shoulders right now, as I'm dealing with this shit, it's like fucking pissing me off. Because I'm trying to fucking braid it into a protective hairstyle. And my hands are hurting because I got carpal tunnel and I can't really manage this shit. But I would like to have some nice hair. I don't want it straight and flowing, but I would like it to be in a where I could rock a natural style and not have to wear head wraps all the time because I'm trying to protect it. I want to get my hair to a point to where the texture looks good when I'm wearing it naturally. That's what I want. So I found a good beauty salon to go to. I'm gonna have to make an appointment to go to her soon. Cause she, you know, did my hair how I wanted it. And she blew it out, made it straight, and it looked really pretty. But it didn't last for long for me. Because I sweat so bad. So, yeah. That's my take on colorism. That's my bitch or beef or opinion. I really think black people need to stop with the stereotype shit and start demanding more. Start demanding more from people, you know, and let those black people know when they start discriminating against you, or, you know, you have black men like Chris Brown, thump him upside the head. Let him know, look, nigga, just because you prefer a woman with long, pretty hair doesn't mean you need to put us sisters down that have short hair or that have trouble growing it like you would like it. How about you embrace and like what the fuck you like and not dog us out over here, because we trying to do the best we can and we not living for you and we not trying to fuck you. So how about that shit? You know, you got Eddie Murphy over here. Eddie Murphy definitely has issues with his people, but we'll talk about that in another episode. So, all right, y'all take care. Keep Michael in your heart.